I am Amy Knowles. I grew up here in White Salmon. I call this my home. I am the pharmacy director here at Skyline Health. Skyline Hospital is more than just a hospital. It's a lifeline for our community. Our patients are my neighbors, my friends, the people I grew up with. At the end of the day, it's about caring for the people who trust us with their health. I'm proud to be part of a team who takes caring for our community so seriously and a priority for everything we do here every day. I am Skyline.
In the 25 years since my injury, I have not seen a gynecologist. There's not one accessible OBGYN in my community.
I found lumps in my breast. I went to a doctor's office I was told was accessible. But when I got there, I couldn't get through the front door.
Every day, women like me go to the doctor for annual checkups for conditions like breast cancer. Early detection saved my life. But women with disabilities, like my friends Tammy and Anne, face a cruel reality: lack of accessible medical facilities and equipment.
We are women first, daughters and veterans second, but women with disabilities last.
I'm Hannah Storm, television sports anchor, and I support PVA. I don't know where I'd be today without access to testing. Our women veterans deserve better. Help PVA fight for access at pva.org.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we welcome you back at 8:12 in the morning. We're happy to have with us from Alpine Veterinary in Hood River, Dr. Mike Foss. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Mark.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to get to. We both have a list here.
Yes. There's a nice and a naughty list, right?
Yes, there's a nice. Well, by the way, the deadline for that list, according to what I received, came yesterday. So you're either on it, one of them or the other at this point. There's now all you're trying to do is build up your planning for next year at this point. But let's talk a little bit here to start us up about something you mentioned. We'll start with our funny stuff first.
Yeah.
Pets driving cars. I've actually seen stories like this before.
But. Well, so we'll relay real life experiences in Hood River. Actually, last week, my daughter was in a local parking lot and sitting in her car and sees this car coming across the parking lot with no one driving.
Oh.
And the car proceeds to cross the parking lot and hit a building.
Oops.
Turns out there was only a dog driving.
I take it, was the dog maybe laying in the car and hit and knocked off a brake, something like that?
I didn't get any details, but that's not the first time this has happened.
No.
If you'll notice, if you come to our clinic, mm-hmm. we have a groomer that's been on our property for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll notice there's a bunch of boulders around the grooming building. Now, those are not accidental. They didn't fall from the sky. They were strategically placed because twice, not once, but twice, we had pets that were left in the car get the car moving, and then gravity and the slope of our parking lot just happened to send the cars crashing into our grooming building.
And so, I forget this. I bet.
Yeah. So next time you're there, look at those rocks and go, okay, those are not accidentally placed there.
I'm thinking usually what's that? I'm assuming the dog hasn't managed to learn how to turn the key.
No. One we know really for sure, you know, was a big German Shepherd, you know, kind of a bouncy, happy guy. Mm. And he was left in like a Ford four-wheel drive pickup with four on the floor.
Yeah.
So he hit the gear shift and popped it into neutral, and gravity took it from there.
There you go. That's why I'm thinking something like that, or if someone was, you know, I suppose if someone's left their car running,
yep.
and the dog removes the brake and pushes the gas, say by laying down in the driver's side area, pedal area,
yeah.
I could see the thing going. Yeah,
we've seen all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. Usually, it's they knock. They hit the gear shift and pop it into neutral. That's been the most common thing. But it just makes me, you know, remind people that, you know, pets left in cars can create issues.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my mom came up to visit us one time, and she got out to open the gate. And, of course, her little dog jumped up and locked the car. And I could not get Scruffy to unlock the car, no matter how much I coaxed and pointed and that type of thing. So, you know, 2 hours later, after you drive into town, get the spare set of keys and come back, then you can unlock the car and get the dog out.
Now, one of the bigger stories nationally, by the way, with animals was that story out of Virginia last weekend. I talked about I had a time where somebody didn't show up, so for a few minutes talking about a raccoon.
I missed that one.
Well, apparently this raccoon ended up in a closed liquor store over the Thanksgiving weekend in Virginia. Probably got in through a ceiling tile, they think. Yeah, and dropped in. They don't really have much in the way of a video of this. At one point, he got onto the video, just briefly. But basically, in scurrying around, probably trying to escape.
Yep.
Started knocking down the bottles on the lower shelves. Decided it was thirsty. Consumed a substantial amount of what was broken out. And they found the raccoon passed out.
Yep.
In the bathroom next to the toilet. Now, the good news is the raccoon sobered up, and the raccoon was released back in the wild, so that all's well that ends well. But what that led me thinking was, because you know, we know the factors in humans that lead to intoxication through alcoholic beverage. For an animal, is it similar?
Yeah, it's going to be the same. In fact, there is a treatment where we actually use alcohol, specifically the textbooks recommend either vodka or Everclear for treating antifreeze poisoning.
Really?
And so you give them specific amounts over specific periods of time, because when your pet drinks antifreeze, usually it's just the stuff dripping out of your engine, or sometimes like we've had them, the dog was in the back of the truck and the antifreeze bottle broke and he lapped it up.
I thought they put some sort of, because that's more for children, I imagine, but
not
a bittering
always.
Agent. Yeah,
not. I don't think all brands have it, and that's a relatively new thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will say, I don't think we see as much antifreeze poisoning as we used to.
Yeah,
but the intoxication methods are going to be pretty similar, and the effects are going to be pretty similar. If you read wildlife things, you know, there's birds will eat berries that are, you know, fermenting on the tree, and they'll get drunk and fly into things. And, and so, yes, there is intoxication in the animal world. Some of it appears to maybe be planned. Probably the saving grace of the animals is that they can't access the stuff year round. So it's just a seasonal binge, so to speak.
So, yeah, there are the funny stuff that we've had
yes,
here.
Yes, yes, yes.
Got a question from a listener that I wanted to pass along. He wanted me to ask you. I'm going to try to do the best I can to describe this. Sounds like a rural property, and they've had a cat there, a neighborhood cat, kind of.
Yep.
You know, and that they give water to. I don't think they really fed it particularly, but they've given water to, and it hangs around, and et cetera. Well, what's happened is now they're seeing the cat unable to put pressure on a front paw. Originally, it was just kind of limping.
Uh-huh.
Now it's trying to get around on three legs. Now, this person, nobody owns the cat. And the question they had was, because they'd like to get the cat some help, what's out there for are there cat rescues out there? I your daughter probably is the one to ask here, right? Because I know she's a cat expert. But are there cat rescues, things like that, available?
There are cat rescues, but the listener's situation has several layers of complexity to it.
Right.
So the first one is, it doesn't sound like anybody picks the cat up and holds it.
Okay.
So especially with the neighborhood cats or feral cats or whatever label you wish to put on them, there's always the issue of catching it and then being able to do something with it, because cats are not always the most cooperative animals in terms of getting stuff, especially if they're wild, because we are to them a threat to life. we're much bigger. We do things to them, and so they'll fight us tooth and nail, literally, if we get too close. So we have first the question of, can we catch the cat and do something with it? Yes, there are cat rescues, but they aren't usually set up to treat sick cats and then turn them loose. Again, they're probably going to try to find a home, but they might. And there is a cat rescue in the gorge. The name escapes me now.
I think they've actually, I remember one time they were here a few years ago. Yeah. There was a cat running around. It wasn't us calling, but they were trying to capture a feral cat that was somewhere around the transmitter area.
Yeah. So you've got that. So first you got to catch the cat, and then you have to figure out where to go. Now, unfortunately, the cats have a lot fewer rescue programs than dogs. Dogs, there are abundant ones. You can often go online and find either breed-specific or helpful ones. The local shelters can do, you have to surrender them for the most part, and many times they're just already at capacity to overwhelmed, especially this time of year. We seem to just see a lot more stray homeless animals, especially dogs, appear. If the cat's amenable to being captured and touched and play and taken care of, then, you know, there is no readily available source of funds to take care of it. So it becomes up to the individual who catches the cat and takes it in to do something for the kitty cat. So it's a common question that we get, or a common problem that we see and have to deal with. And the feral cats are a challenge to deal with, and many times we just can't because they won't let us.
Another questioner from a sometimes listener who lives in my house, for you. This will begin the puppy portion, by the way, of this show. This listener has a grass patch in the backyard that was ordered in.
Yes.
Because we don't grow enough grass, of course, in this region. And so it's basically a piece of sod.
Right.
And we put it on the patio and put, you know, a little pen around it.
Yes.
And we put just to explain again, 12-week-old now, as of tomorrow, little toy poodle puppy, to put it in there as we begin the potty training process to get them outside because of some questions I'm going to ask about, you know, here as we go along here, because vaccinations aren't done yet.
Yep.
The question this listener has, do we need to keep the grass patch covered from birds and vermin until she finishes her Lepto vaccine?
Certainly the vermin. Birds are not going to transmit Lepto. And Lepto's the concern. Lepto's more of an issue here in this wet weather. So that's a concern. But it's going to be more the vermin, the rodents, the rats, actually. We seem to be seeing more people have issues with too many rats in their property. So that is who is more likely to carry that. So, keep your little doggy yard protected from those with some sort of a rat-proof fence. Make sure there's no food in there, okay, because that doesn't matter what you put up. If there's food in there, the vermin, as you call them, are going to find a way in there. So that's going to be your best protection.
Because right now we've got, it's basically a contractor's garbage bag.
Yeah.
And because the pen's not very big, obviously. And basically using it as a tarp over it and put it back over it.
Yep.
Every time we take the dog out, which is quite frequently at this point.
That sounds reasonable. Again, mm-hmm. You're just trying to offer some protection. Most of the time it's probably going to be at night, which is that's most of our day, is in the dark. You do want to, if it's actually live turf, you want to make sure it gets enough sunlight to at least breathe and see what's going on out there. Otherwise, it will become a brown patch like everything else.
It's getting uplifted quite a bit. I mean, I've noticed that young little puppies, their digestive systems are constantly on the move.
Yep.
And constantly unpredictable.
Yep. You got it, Mark.
I'll continue on this vein here before we go to we're a couple minutes away here from going to news time. On that further vein, the reason, of course, we're doing this is we have plenty of backyard, is the concern for Now, first of all, explain lepto. I'm just throwing this out here. But
okay.
But that seems to be the main concern as far as, because our puppy still has got a few weeks before it's got, obviously, its full vaccinations taken care of.
Correct. So leptospirosis is a bacteria, and it causes pretty serious illnesses and can lead to death, okay? So that's why we get concerned about it. We do see lepto in this area. Fortunately, it's not a really high occurrence, but we do see cases. Other clinics, if they see some, they often we kind of share with each other when certain problems pop up and we need to be aware of it. And the disease has been in the area, you know, we've been diagnosing it as long as I've been here. So we know it's around and it's going to be an issue. It is transmitted through urine, often by the rodents. So rats, mice, your friendly sober raccoons, you know, various animals like that are what is going to spread it. And actually, we see problems in cattle. And so it's probably a wildlife reservoir. I'd only be guessing from there as far as who all spreads it past the rodents. But lepto is out there in lots of forms, and it's an issue. Again, kind of a low chance, especially in your yard, since, you know, traffic through there is minimal. But nonetheless, you know, it's let's prevent it, because if they get sick, it is difficult, meaning expensive, and sometimes the pets don't make it. Mm-hmm. So we certainly advocate for vaccination of lepto. Some people don't. You know, you can find all sorts of negativity on the internet about it. There is the belief that city dogs aren't going to be exposed to it. And we're not enough city, in my opinion, to qualify for that.
I'll say, do we really have... And I always jokingly kind of refer to the Hood River White Salmon metropolitan area for some things. Just because I don't feel like waiting to say it, but you know, it seems grandiose.
Well, if we look at the rat as being, say, a major source of this disease, if you wait till the wintertime and you drive up and down May Street, you'll see rats scurrying from one house to the other.
Well, I live close enough to orchard land.
Yep.
That I'm, you know, even though I've got a kind of a road and a couple sets of houses mm-hmm. in between, but I'm pretty sure a rat could traverse that over time. I just kind of assume I'm not necessarily in the wildland urban interface, but I'm certainly in the urban rural interface.
Well, we all are. So anyway, it's an issue here. I think pets should be protected from it, but we usually hold off on the very small and the very young.
Need to take a break for the news here, so we'll take our break. When we come back after the news, we will talk about more puppy stuff.
There we go.
And we're going to talk about Christmas stuff as well, because it is that time of year.
Tis the season.
8:28, more on MCT right after this.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-746-3737. That's 800-746-3737. 800-746-3737.
The holidays are here. And no matter how your family celebrates this season, it will definitely be brighter with $1,000 to add to your holiday cheer. Bi-Coastal Media wants to lift your holiday spirit with a $1,000 shopping spree at participating Gorge merchants. Just enter to win by December 17th. Get an extra $1,000 in your Christmas stocking by entering at any of these Gorge merchants.
Gills Point S Tire and Auto in the Dalles and Hood River. Gorge Granite Works, Misfits, and Clint's Booksellers.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the Gorge's local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
And it is now 8:30 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. In the news, Washington Governor Bob Ferguson announcing his approval of the controversial Carrier Solar Project in Klickitat County near Goldendale. Ferguson called the project a win for the state, saying building more clean energy provides affordable carbon-free electricity, creates construction jobs, and boosts economic development and keeps the air clean. The Carrier Solar Project is touted to add 160 megawatts of solar energy to the Washington grid. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek said she'll seek re-election next year, a long-expected announcement that sets the stage for a possible 2026 rematch between her and the Republican lawmaker Christine Drazen. No other high-profile Democrat has indicated any plans to challenge Kotek, setting her up for an easy primary contest. The White Salmon City Council closed up its public hearing on the 2026 municipal budget. And did not vote on it, however. They choose to wait until its December 17th meeting. That's in part due to collective bargaining negotiations that are currently taking place. And downtown Hood River's annual community holiday tree lighting and street festival will take place this evening. The festival from 5 to 7 on Oak Street with a variety of activities planned throughout the evening. The community tree lighting will take place between 5:40 and 6 in Overlook Memorial Park. Santa and Mrs. Claus will be there with an opportunity for photos by the community tree from 5 to 6:30. Oak Street from 1st to 6th, 2nd from State to Cascade, State from 1st to 4th, all closed from 4 to 7:30 for the event. Currently 49 degrees in Stevenson, 46 in the Dalles, 47 in Hood River, and Mid-Columbia Today time is 8:32.
Voted best in the Gorge, A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air keeps your home comfortable year-round. Hi, I'm Kimberly, and whether it's heating, cooling, or plumbing, our expert team is here when you need us most. From repairs and installations to our exclusive monitoring and plumbing memberships, we help prevent problems before they start. Our customers trust us for fast service, honest advice, and quality work every time. Experience why we've earned your votes in Best of the Gorge. Check out our article in the Best of the Gorge magazine. Call A&E Plumbing, Heating, and Air today. CCB number 203004. Your comfort starts here.
If you have questions or issues with things like consumer loans, mortgages, insurance claims, or money scams, the state of Oregon has advocates here to help. Get answers in action at dfr.oregon.gov.
Si usted tiene preguntas o quejas acerca de seguros, préstamos, hipotecas o fraude financiero, Oregon tiene representantes del consumidor listos para ayudarle. Reciba respuestas y acción en dfr.oregon.gov.
Save now with Cascade Farm and Outdoor's latest mailer. Watch for it in your mailbox or pick up a copy in-store. All Burnside flannels are half price, now just $19.99. Find Lacrosse Alpha Light 2 neoprene boots for $30 off. All Kong dog toys are 50% off. Purina Leina pellets or crumbles are $13.99. And all Benchmade knives are 20% off. It's all happening now at Cascade Farm and Outdoor. Northwest, homegrown, honest value.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
This forecast is brought to you by SheFire. We're your local fire protection company. Call to get your fire extinguishers inspected today. 541-980-1181. SheFire, 980-1181.
A rainy and windy day, high temperatures mid-50s, and the west wind at 25 miles per hour. Good gust up to 45 this afternoon into this evening. Low temperatures tonight in the upper 40s.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And it is 8:34 in the morning. Dr. Mike Foss from Alpine Veterinary in Hood River is here to talk animals. And we're talking puppies because I've got a 12-week-old puppy, myself and my wife. And so, but hopefully, I mean, a lot of people I know go through this. So we were talking about vaccinations somewhat when that's where we left off. How long does it usually take to get a puppy fully vaccinated and all those taken care
okay,
of?
Okay, great question, and this is one frequently asked. So puppies are not, their immune system is not fully ready to take the last vaccine until they're about 16 weeks of age. Okay, there's a small percentage of puppies that don't get rid of their protection they got from mom, so maternal antibodies, until they're almost 16 weeks of age. That maternal antibody protection protects them from disease, but it also hinders the vaccine. Now, that protection may go away as quick as 6 weeks. So we sort of have a little bit of a Russian roulette game between the age of 6 weeks. 6 weeks and 16 weeks, because the time that the doggy can actually respond to the vaccine is about the same time they can come down with the disease. So we can't just wait and say, oh, let's wait till 4 months and vaccinate them, because you've left a really big window of exposure out there. So what we do is we vaccinate them several times. And this is the national standard that's been, I think, verified pretty well through lots of good scientific studies, as well as many years of observing. And what we suggest, and this is most veterinarians, it's not just Alpine Veterinary Hospital, 6 weeks of age, 9 weeks of age, 12 weeks of age, and 16 weeks of age is when we like to see the puppies, because we know that protocol eliminates the vast majority of the diseases we're vaccinating against. If we're off by a week or so on some of those, probably no big deal. But what we see happen so often is you and your wife go and pick up a puppy, and you're told, we're all current on our vaccines. And that may be very well true. You pick them up at 8 weeks. They had their 6-week shot. The breeders were responsible. They got them started right. But you have to follow through. And then also when they say they're up to date on shots, you always have to ask, well, can you tell me when and what they were giving? Because many times people don't have the right information on what up to date or current means for puppies. So again, check with your veterinarian. We all have a pretty much a standard viewpoint on that. In this area, the big disease we worry about is parvovirus. And parvovirus is a virus that doggies pick up through somebody else's, usually stool, and it's a severe digestive disease. So what it does is it hits the intestines, and it kind of scrapes the lining off of them, so to speak. Okay, so if you could look at the inside, you'd see it'd be just like if you scrape the skin off the back of your hand. That's what the inside of the intestines look like. So the dog loses a lot of fluids. That's what we see with the diarrhea and the vomiting. And they can't absorb anything because all those cells which take in nutrients have all been destroyed and passed out through the back end of the dog. So it's a real severe disease. We lose a large percentage of them. In our experience, the pit bull breeds, the Rottweiler, and even the Dobermans to a lesser extent are more susceptible to that. Over the years, we found out some of the Rottweiler lines of dogs never made good protection to parvo, no matter how many times we vaccinated them. So certain breeds have higher predispositions. In fact, if you come in with a pit bull cross puppy, I recommend extra vaccines, because I just see more of these dogs come in with parvo, even though they were quote unquote vaccinated. So 4 times until we hit 4 months of age. Check with your veterinarian, because I know I hit you with lots of details. But the idea is to prevent the diseases, especially parvo. Lepto is one of them. Distemper is a disease we really don't see, because vaccine has been very effective at reducing it. But we do see it crop up when people let the vaccinations go and don't stay on top of them. So I know there's a lot of information out there about over vaccination, and I think you'll see most of us don't do thousands of vaccines, so to speak. Okay, we have a core group at our clinic. We try to base it on the lifestyle of your dog. So your dog, for example, is not going to be a hunting dog, I don't think, other than
it wants to
hunting
be,
treats.
I think it thinks it does, but it hunts my feet a lot.
Yeah.
she does go after it quite a bit.
So we're not expecting her to be out and be exposed to Lyme disease, for example, or be bitten by a rattlesnake or those types of things. So those vaccines are not on there. I'm not sure that I can ever see you guys boarding this puppy either. So
no.
We don't need to worry about those vaccinations.
We've brought somebody in to take care of a dog before.
Yes,
but not boarding or take them to mom's, things
right,
like that.
Right. So anyway, so we try to tailor it to the dog's lifestyle and realize that even if you're just a yard dog, they still get exposed to certain diseases. And we just need to, prevention is just so much better than trying to treat.
And that's the big concern, I think, for us has been, you know, we'd like to get her started, you know, rather than using the strip of grass, actually going out in the backyard where I pre-own the grass and use that. But the impression I've gotten is it's really not wise to do that until we go through the entire vaccination sequence.
Yes, and always with this stuff, again, it's about knowing what your risks are. Again, for you guys, for your environment, your risk of issues in your backyard is pretty minimal, but there's still some, okay? And that's what we're trying to prevent.
On that same vein, traveling.
Okay.
Is there in the vaccination process?
So what I tell people is if you're going to travel to somebody's house that has dogs, just make sure they're adult dogs, they're healthy, and hopefully up on their vaccines. I stay away from places that have lots of young dogs, especially if they have puppies there, because, again, just like kids in school, it's the youngsters that spread disease, and it's much easier to pick something up if you're around a bunch of youngsters than you are with a bunch of adults that don't really chain diseases back and forth because they're already immune. Also, as you travel, I know the probably ODOT would yell at me for this, but don't stop at the roadside rests to let your dog go potty when we're unvaccinated, okay? Mm-hmm. And the reason is because every other dog goes there, and dog poo is where you're going to pick up a number of diseases. So stop someplace else where other people don't stop until your dog's vaccinated, and then the roadside rest stop becomes quite appropriate.
How long does it take once you do the last set of vaccines?
About 10 days.
10 days. Okay, I was going to make sure, as far as you go, you get that last set of 16 weeks, wait another 10 days, and then it's okay.
Then you're protected. Then you can go out and face the cold, cruel world with all the viruses and bacteria out there and know that you've done what you can to safeguard yourself.
Speaking of poop, this was my biggest question, is we have to pick up when she does her business, pick her up very quickly.
Yep.
Because our puppy will turn around and reconsume the output.
Yes, yes.
I take it this is common in puppies, right?
Yes, very common. In fact, normal behavior.
Does it stop naturally?
In some dogs, yes. In some dogs, no. And
okay.
I don't know which dog you have, Mark. Time will tell.
Okay, first question will be, when will we know what kind of dog we have? we've heard of this from others, too. At what point would you expect a dog to break out of that?
Oh, well, one, when we can have a bigger yard to run around in.
Sure.
Because the treat is not as visually there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I have a good idea of when they will outgrow this. Because, again, some don't. And all dogs have a tendency to want to eat poo of a variety of animals. Mm-hmm. Farm dogs never outgrow it. So it's real variable. You'll just always have to be on guard for it. And as long as your dog is healthy, it's just a disgusting habit, but not unhealthy.
I was going to say, my thought was you have to worry about worms, things like that.
Actually, the life cycle of the worms, not so much, because the worms haven't had a chance to develop where they're contagious back to the dog.
Okay.
So cell reinfestation is a minor issue with coprography is the term used to eating poop.
So if someone is doing this, or a dog is doing it, your dog is doing this, and you want the dog to stop, are there ways besides, with a puppy, give them again, you're in the pen situation right now, so we pick the dog up, get the matter removed,
and
then go about your business.
Yeah. There are some things that can be fed that supposedly make stool objectionable. That works sometimes. Sometimes nothing works.
Okay. Well, I'll just continue to watch that.
Sorry, Mark.
Yeah, that's okay. I want to get to Christmas stuff, yes. So I'm just going to go to one more thing. Actually, this is something that actually is probably important for any pet owner. But I've got in case of emergency sticker.
Yes.
For a pet, and it says, please save our pets, and it's got, you put how many dogs you have, how many cats you have, and then other also. So if you've got a different type of pet, you're covered. And place for your emergency number. You put this on your window. But it also says if we cannot be reached, please take them here. And now, in some cases, you might put a friend's on there. But let's say you're somebody fairly new to the area.
Uh-huh.
I mean, do you put your vet down? I mean, what sort of options do you have here?
Well, you could, provided your veterinarian will be available in off hours, which isn't always the case. Probably animal control, because at least they can take care of them until you get your house fire situation squared away.
And that's part of the importance of licensing and microchipping, by the way.
Yeah, that goes along that category. The other thing I would think of, consult with pet sitting service or like Cascade Pet Camp or some of the Adina's Doghouse, you know, some of the boarding facilities. You know, all of us are going to try to help out in an emergency situation. So, you know, we get calls from the police for ones that are in an emergency situation. Not so much, but yeah, we do occasionally from the fire department. Of course, I'm connected with the fire department, so they're going to call me no matter what. So yeah, I would say veterinarian, local pet care, those would be the numbers I'd put on there.
Moving on to Christmas.
It is
the holiday season. And back, we're just 3 weeks away from Christmas, actually a day under 3 weeks away now. And that always brings up the dangers to our pets during Christmas time, particularly from things we tend to put under the tree.
So the first thing I want to talk about is chocolate, because that is the most common call that we get is my dog ate chocolate and I hear it's toxic. And yes, chocolate is toxic. What it is it's a huge dose of caffeine and theobromine. And these are both stimulants, obviously. Caffeine certainly is. And the problem is dogs don't clear these drugs from their system nearly as quickly as you or I do, especially if you're experienced coffee drinker such as I don't think caffeine lasts probably more than 10 minutes in my system before it's gone. Dog's not going to be the same. It's going to last in their system for a long time, and so the level builds up quite a bit. And what you see is first you're going to have a dog with the shakes because they've got too much caffeine on board. You know, it's sort of like letting your two-year-old get into an espresso. They're going to be bouncing around the house. Then they're going to have vomiting, diarrhea, severe cases, which fortunately are rare, but severe cases, they can actually go into a coma because they're just so overstimulated. Again, that's pretty rare, even in the emergency hospital situation. But chocolate can be toxic in high doses. Now, what's a high dose? It really depends on which kind of chocolate and how big your dog is. So, for example, your puppy, if your puppy ate a half of a standard milk chocolate candy, that's enough to make her seriously sick.
Now, when we say candy, are you talking about like a little C's type candy or a chocolate
candy,
bar?
I'm thinking you buy a box of chocolates and the little ones that come in the individuals.
So a piece of chocolate, like an M&M wouldn't necessarily be a problem, but...
Correct.
It's...
But like, say, C's candy. You get a box of C's candy. Or at Valentine's Day, you have a little heart-shaped box with, you know, 20 pieces of chocolate in there. Like my son left the Valentine's candy and the dog in the car one day. Well, we came back and there was no candy left, you know. fortunately, the dog was okay. Because these candies, I actually weighed some this morning before I came in. They're about a little less than a half an ounce. Okay, and it takes about one of those. Sorry, my can't read my own writing here. For a 20-pound dog, it's going to take 10 ounces of milk chocolate, which is what most of those candies are. So that's half a pound. You know, that's I don't think your dog can eat a half a pound of chocolate.
I don't know, but I don't plan to test
no,
the theory.
No, let's not test it. But anyway, that's enough. It's small dogs that we see right. The issue with. Mm-hmm. If a Chihuahua eats a full piece of See's candy,
yeah.
We need to talk about that. Mm-hmm. If your Glab or your Golden Retriever eats three or four, that's just going to be a morsel to them.
Right.
So it is all about dose. And if your dog eats chocolate, you know, you can go on the internet, you can find, is my dog potentially toxic? The ASPCA, so the American Society of Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, has a wonderful poisoning hotline. And they can tell you whether you've got an issue or not. Now, they charge you for the service, but I find them to be extremely valuable. And if your pet has toxicity issues, then we can call them and consult with them and get the very best treatment for that particular poisoning. And I've learned there are so many different things out there that are poisons, especially human pharmaceuticals, vitamin supplements, lots of things out there, but we'll just stick to chocolate today. Mm-hmm. And just know that milk chocolate, the candies in the box are not so bad. It's baking chocolate and dark chocolate that are going to be the worst. Yeah. So if they get into them, again, you want to know how much they ate, how much your dog weighs. Mm-hmm. You can look it up on the internet. If they ate enough, we need to worry about it. You need to make them throw it up. Okay, that's the first thing that you should try to do.
And that brings us to a bottle of
hydrogen peroxide.
There we go.
There we go. And it's the dose, and this is on the internet. You can find this, but it's 1 cc for every 2 pounds of dog. And you can do this a couple times before you say this isn't working. Now, don't do it to a cat. Doesn't work. All it does is aggravate the cat and may get you bitten.
Do cats have chocolate problems?
I have not had somebody call me with that one yet.
Okay. Yet. Okay.
Yet. I use yet. Mm-hmm. That's the fun thing about my job. After 40 years, I am still seeing new stuff.
So, but bottom line, it's about dosage and don't panic.
Correct. Don't panic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got lots of time. Mm-hmm. You know, get them to throw it up. Sometimes if they don't throw up after the first dose of peroxide, I give them a little bit of food, maybe something like a little piece of bread or something the dog's going to scarf down to try to kind of give some little more substance to throw it up. But that's the thing with chocolate. Get it out of the system. If you don't, you know, you can either have issues with the mm-hmm. the caffeine, or there's so much fat within the chocolate that we get pancreatitis, and that's a whole other can of worms. Usually a bit more of an issue than just the chocolate itself.
So one more question I got for you, and that is rain and cold and a little puppy. And Jacqueline has bought a sweater.
Yeah.
But this dog's a furball, as you've seen.
Yeah, yeah.
How much of a concern with temperature,
you know,
and a little dog?
To go out and go to the bathroom, I don't think it's much of a concern. They're going to be running around. Again, if you watch little kids at the beach, you know, they're blue, and they're still out there running around having a good time, but you pull them out of the water, and their teeth are chattering, okay? At least that's the way mine worked. It's the same thing with the dogs. If they've got to go out and go to the bathroom, just go out and go to the bathroom, bring them in, towel them off. Now, if they're shivering, then they've gotten too cold. But especially with the insulation like your dog has, which is a pretty good coat, you know, that's going to be able to withstand safely, you know, several, you know, half hour out in the cold, especially this. Living outside in this is what gets our animals in trouble. I tell people the worst weather for our farm animals is 40 and raining, because that dampens your hair coat, you lose your ability to insulate from the cold, and you spend a lot of energy trying to stay warm with a wet hair coat. And over the weeks and months, that becomes a problem. Short term, for a few minutes, couple hours, not so much.
8:54 in the morning, we've kind of reached the end of our time here. Dr. Mike Foss on Animals from Alpine Veterinary. Mike, thanks for doing this. Have a good holiday season.
Yes. Merry Christmas to you and yours.
I think we're back in for more shots, by the way, before the holiday hits.
We'll see you. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're going to, yeah, I Jacqueline handles all that, but I think we are going to be back. At least one of us will
She's
be.
She's on top of it.
Yes, she is, definitely. Mike, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It is 8:54 in the morning. We'll come back and wrap her up for you after this.
If you've been diagnosed with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis, this is what it sounds like to be a million miles away. Imagine being a million miles away. Tremfya, guselkumab, taken by injection, is a prescription medicine for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from taking injections or pills or phototherapy. With Tremfya, clearer skin is possible. In clinical trials, at least 70% of patients saw at least 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks. Results may vary. Tremfya is also indicated for adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor about Tremfya. Call 1-800-526-7736 or visit Tremfya.com.
My Patriot Supply, America's most trusted survival food company, wishes you and yours a very Merry Christmas. As our gift to you, we've got an amazing deal on survival food kits. Buy one, gift two. That's right, for a limited time, when you grab our best-selling four-week emergency food kit, we'll include 2 one-week kits free to hand out as gifts. That's 4 weeks of emergency food for you, and 2 ready-to-give gifts for anyone on your list who's into preparedness, or anyone who needs a nudge in that direction. But they're only available for a limited time. Grab yours at MyPatriotSupply.com and give the gift of food security this Christmas. With 2,000 calories per day, 16 delicious meal and snack varieties, and up to 25-year shelf life, it's no wonder our 4-week food kit is the best-selling emergency food supply of all time. But the Buy One, Gift Two Christmas special won't last long. So claim yours now at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Now there's a new way to take charge of your blood sugar. Introducing New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula from the makers of the nation's best-selling garlic supplement. New Garlic helps maintain healthy blood sugar levels with clinically supported levels of garlic, plus a custom blend of vitamins and minerals, and it's odor-free. Take charge of your blood sugar with New Garlic Healthy Blood Sugar Formula. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. Do you feel stupid for buying a timeshare? Don't. It's not your fault. You were most likely told you could rent it, and it was a great financial investment. And the deal was available today only. If this happened to you, contact your resort or Wesley Financial Group for help today.
Call Wesley now for your free exit information kit. 800-791-1313. 800-791-1313.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:58 in the morning. We got a couple minutes left here. I during Mid-Columbia Mornings got through some of the events going on in the area, and I still have about a page and a half of them left. So I thought I'd pick up a few more here before we leave. White Salmon Valley Library Winter Party in Wausau is going to be from 2 to 4 tomorrow. That is going out the library there. Also, Gorge Makerspace Festival of Making Winter Fundraiser. That's from 3 to 7 tomorrow at 32 Northeast Pioneer Place in White Salmon. Gift-making stations, artist demos available there. Also, a silent auction, raffle, a food truck, and a cozy fire pit. Hood River Library is going to make your own holiday ornament event coming up from 3 to 5 tomorrow. That's going to be at the Hood River Library Reading Room. It's recommended for ages 16 and up. Free with materials provided. Space is limited. White Salmon's Village Lights. All sorts of things going on there Saturday and Sunday. You can go to explorewhitesalmon.com for all the information. Visit Cascade Locks, a retro Christmas tree show with over 20 vintage Christmas trees on display. 11 to 5 Saturday, 11 to 1 Sunday at Cascade Locks City Hall. I think these are all aluminum Christmas trees, by the way, so something a little bit different there. Also, Hood River Yacht Club, their lighted floats tomorrow evening, 5 to 7, Hood River Marina. They'll have hot cider and viewing from the launch ramp dock. Christmas in Carson tree lighting, 6:30 tomorrow evening, Gator Creek Gardens at 51 Hot Springs Avenue in Carson. Hot chocolate, cookies, coffee, caroling, and pictures with Santa. Mid-Columbia Community Choir Concert, Saturday evening at 7, Hood River Valley Christian Church. Sunday at 4 at Grace Baptist Church in White Salmon. Mount Adams Elks, 1990s to 2000s, Holiday Dance Party and Members Drives, 9 to midnight at the Elks Lodge at 124 Northeast Church in White Salmon. 21 and over for that tomorrow evening. You must show valid ID. On Sunday, Mount Hood Town Hall, Handmade Holiday Market, 10 to 4, 6575 Highway 35 in Mount Hood, plus Made by Kids Market from 10 to noon. Soup and Bread Hot Lunch begins at 11, Santa Visit from 11 to 3, Charcuterie Board Workshop from 2 to 4. Bring a can or package of food for the local food bank to help out there. We gave away tickets yesterday. Rock the Holidays, Aaron Meyer Christmas Concerts, the 14th Annual Benefit for the United Way of the Columbia Gorge. Best Western Hood River Inn, Sunday morning, or Sunday afternoon, rather, in the Gorge Room. Kids Concert at 1, $10 for kids 12 and under, and then $10 for kids 12 and under, $12 for adults. I'll try to read that correctly. Regular Concert at 4, $30 general admission, $15 for kids 12 and under. Tickets at Wacoma Bookstore or online, UnitedWayColumbiaGorge.org. Also, a drive-through Nativity Sunday, 5 to 8, Hood River Church of the Nazarene, 2168 Belmont and Hood River, free hot cocoa and candy cane. So there, that's what we've got. Go to GorgeRadio.com for the events that I mentioned back in the 7 o'clock hour, and you can get the complete list there. Also, looking ahead to next week. That's GorgeRadio.com. Click on the events page. I ran a little over time this morning, but the way we do things now, that's okay. Cameron will be back with us on a Monday producing. He's got basketball tonight with me, so he is a got the morning off here this morning. Basketball tonight, by the way, Hood River Valley girls take on Kingsway Christian. Boys take on McDaniel. We'll be on at 5:30 tonight on KIHR for that one. But that does it for the weekend. Have a good one, everyone. I'm Mark Bailey. Thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again on Monday when our guest will be Al Barton from Mid-Columbia Center for Living.